Welcome to the Lifeway Church Podcast. We are so glad that you have joined us, and we hope that you are encouraged by today's message.
Well, good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? It's great to see each and every one of you with us. Just so glad that you are here today. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Andrew McLean. I'm the lead pastor here at the Lifeway, and we're just so happy that you're here with us. One of the things we do every Sunday morning is we like to welcome those who are listening digitally and online later on today and throughout the remainder of the week. So let's give them a big welcome. We appreciate all those who are ministered to online. Wanted to just give you a couple of quick announcements here. So in your service guide, there's a black envelope that looks like this with a bright green label on it. This is just for you to take home this week to prepare your legacy offering. And so our legacy offering, Legacy Sunday, is going to be next Sunday, December 16th. And so just wanted to give you a little bit of time to take this with you. We'll have more of these available next week as well, but encourage you to do that. We'll be talking about that more in just a little bit. And then I want everybody to say December 23rd. December 23rd, that's 2 weeks from today. We are going to be having our Christmas Eve candlelight service. And so this is what you need to know, is if you come here at 10 o'clock, no one's going to be here. All right, so that's going to be an evening service at 6 o'clock p.m., so I want to encourage all of you to come. It's going to be an amazing time. We're going to sing worship songs, some Christmas songs by candlelight. We're going to have story time for the kids on the stage. It's going to be amazing. Lots of just it's going to be crazy. We're going to have a photo booth, a hot cocoa bar, and cookies, and all the great things. So you don't want to miss it, but here's the thing. I don't want you to miss it, but I also don't want you to come alone. All right, so will you do me a favor and start inviting people this week? And we purposely do this on the 23rd because we know if we picked the 24th, many of you have other family things that you've got to attend. And so this is something that we intentionally do on Christmas Eve, hopefully become a new tradition for us as a church, but would love for all of you to be a part of that with us. And so once again, 2 weeks from today, there will be no morning service. We'll be meeting in the evening at 6 p.m. Everybody say, I got it. All right. Well, today we are launching a brand new message series entitled God With Us. Everybody say, God With Us. All right, if you've got your Bibles, you can take them out, follow along with us in your service guide as a sermon outline. I encourage you to pull that out, take some notes with us. It's also available on our church app if you prefer to take notes digitally, and you can email it to yourself at the end of it. But our key verse for this series is found in the book of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 23. And this verse was actually quoting the prophet Isaiah, who foretold of the birth of Jesus, and this is what it says. It says, look, the virgin will conceive a child, and she will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. Everybody say Emmanuel. Emmanuel, which means God is with us. God is with us. That is really the reason for the Christmas season. God came to dwell among and in us. And I don't know if it's like this for you, but for me, as I follow Jesus, it's so easy to assume that if God is with us, if God is with me, then everything in life is going to work out and everything is going to be easy, right? We've all experienced those mountaintop seasons when everything just seems to work out and go as we planned. You know, you get the promotion, you get the raise, baby Susie finally begins sleeping through the night. Everybody remember that day when that happened, right? Some of you might still be praying for that. You know, as you pull into the mall for your Christmas shopping, the front parking space opens up and you get that first spot in line, and we're like, man, God, you are so good. On the mountaintop of life, it's easy to recognize that God is with us. But how many of you know that life isn't always like that, right? How many of you know that seasons change and things don't turn out the way that we hoped they would? Bad news comes, our health deteriorates, relationships break down, you begin to hurt, you begin to feel alone, worried and afraid. Some even begin battling depression. And when we're in those valley seasons, we can feel abandoned. We can feel like God is nowhere to be found. But today I want to challenge you, and I want to encourage you this morning about this fact that God is still God even when we are in the valley. Anybody believe that? About 13 years ago, I was working for a Fortune 500 company in downtown Milwaukee, right on Wisconsin Ave, the 411 building. I had an office overlooking Lake Michigan on the 17th floor. I'd been there for over 5 years and made good money. I had great benefits. I loved my job as a graphic designer and a video editor. And the company, as much as I love my job, the company seemed to love me as well. And so they allowed me to have a four-day work week so I could spend and have that extra day of the week to do ministry on the weekends. In fact, during my time there, we bought our first home. Shiloh was able to become a stay-at-home mom. Ministry was great. We had an amazing youth choir. We had a music group, another music group that was getting ready to record a second album. And like everything was great. And I went to work one day, I'll never forget it, looking forward, because at the end of the week, I was going to find out how much my bonus was going to be. And we had an amazing sales year and exceeded all of the goals. And so I was excited, like this was just going to be a great time. Everything was perfect. And I remember about 11:45 walking down to the restaurant in our building to grab lunch, and I ordered, I'll never forget this, I ordered a deluxe grilled cheese sandwich with thick slices, you know, like those thick slices of bacon. Yeah, some of you haven't had breakfast and you're going to start getting hangry here in a second. So I grabbed this deluxe grilled cheese sandwich, and as I usually did, I took it to go, and I went back up to my office. I sat down. I remember I had just opened the lid of the container, and as soon as I opened that lid, I was paged to stop by the president's office. And as I made the walk to the president's office, it was there that I was informed that my position and the team that I managed was being eliminated, and this would be my last day of work. And instantly, I went from the mountaintop to the valley. In fact, that sandwich was never eaten. It was thrown into the garbage because I was instantly just sick to my stomach. And everything that I had hoped for, all the dreams that I had, all the things that I was longing for seemed to crumble before my eyes. And so today I want to give you some ways to help you when you walk through the valley seasons. Because if you live for any length of time, you will walk through the valley. As we read through the Bible, valleys represent several things. Often battles occurred in the valley. And some of you can relate right now. You are in the middle of the valley and you are battling to make it through. Valleys also represented seasons of desperation and seasons of loneliness. But what's also interesting is in Scripture, valleys signify, the first blank in your outline, valleys signify a season of growth. A season of growth. And this is so important because if we only live our lives on the mountaintop, then we will never grow. Our perspective would become so skewed because when we're on top of the mountain, what happens? Everything appears to be so small. But in the valley, we can look up and we can behold the greatness of what lies in front and before us. And while we may enjoy God on the mountaintop, the next blank in your outline, we get to know him intimately in the valleys. It's in the valley seasons that we truly learn the depth and the goodness of the God that we serve. And so for this message today, we're going to look at Psalms 84. It's a great passage that actually has some secrets in there, some ways to help us navigate the valley season. And we're going to spend most of our time in this portion of Scripture today, starting in verse 5 of Psalms 84. It says this, "What joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord." And so the writer of this Psalms writes, what joy. In fact, if you read another translation, it says, blessed are those whose strength is found in you. And here's the first thing that we need to do in the valley season. Number one, we need to lean on God's strength. Lean on God's strength. We've all experienced this at various points in our lives when we're trying to handle and we're trying to take care of everything. And how many of you have been there? Like, no matter what we do, it's never enough, right? And we try harder and harder. And eventually, after a few weeks or maybe a few months, if you're really good, we keep this pace up, and eventually we reach a breaking point. And we'll say things like, you know what, I've had enough. I can't take it anymore. I'm overwhelmed. I'm exhausted. I don't have it in me. I don't have what it takes to go on. And the truth of is this, that if you don't have a life-giving relationship with God, then what you have is all that you have. But when we learn to lean on Jesus, there is actually a strength that we have access to that goes way beyond what is on the inside of us naturally. And so this is why the writer was able to say, what joy, because when we get to the end of our limited abilities, there is a divine strength from God that is available to those who know and follow him. Amen. The Apostle Paul wrote this in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 8 and 9. He says, three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Verse 9, and each time he said, my grace is all you need. Watch this. My power works best in weakness. What joy it is for those whose strength comes from the Lord. And so I want to encourage you this morning, if you're in the middle of a valley right now, you don't have to walk through it alone. God's power is waiting to be displayed if you will learn to lean on his strength. I can remember as a little boy growing up in church, there was a song that the choir used to sing, and the word said, his strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He'll carry us when we can't carry on. And so many of us, we walk through life and we're frustrated because we're trying so hard. We're doing the best we can, and no matter what, it seems like it's never enough. But I want you to notice this. The text doesn't say, blessed are those who make it on their own. It doesn't say, blessed are those who pull themselves up by the bootstraps. It doesn't say, blessed are those who are super determined and work hard. It doesn't say any of that. And so many people in our society today, we're walking around with a spirit of independence, and we carry this attitude, I don't need anybody else. I'm gonna count on number one, and I've got this, and I'm not gonna let anyone in, and I'm not gonna trust anyone. And essentially, when we live our life with this attitude, we're saying, I'm God, and I'll handle the things and situations in my life. And so if you choose to live this way, I'm going to let you know you're going to be a miserable person, because none of us in this room were created to live life on our own. We were created by God to depend on him and to depend on others. And that's really the main reason we want you to be a part of a life group, and we want you to serve on the dream team, because we need each other. Blessed are you. What joy it will be when you realize you are dependent and have access to a power that is greater than yourself. And so some of you need to lean into it and just admit it this morning. I don't have what it takes. I need God and I need his strength. Amen. You guys are quiet this morning. Continuing on in verse 5, it goes on, it says, who have set their minds on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. The Israelites would often take a trip to their homeland, Jerusalem, the city of refuge, and they would do this in order to come back and worship God. And they were joyful because they knew where their strength came from, and they were focused on the purpose of their journey. And so here's the second way to navigate the valley seasons. Number two in your notes is set your mind on Jesus. And I want to challenge you this morning. What you think about in here matters so much. Paul talked about this. In fact, all through the New Testament, you can read. I've got a couple of them here in your notes. In Colossians 3:2, he said, "Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth." In Philippians 4:8, he wrote, "Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise." And I want you to understand, you know this, situations are going to arise in our lives that we have absolutely no control over. But what and how you think about your situation is something that all of us in this room can control. And so your current situation may have you smack dab right in the middle of the valley, but your mind can still be set on God. Your heart might be racing, and your soul may be aching, and your emotions may be running wild, but your mind can be set and fixed on God. So I want to challenge you. Some of us need to change. You know, there was an old preacher who used to talk about your stinking thinking, right? Anybody here ever have some stinking thinking, right? And we would think all the wrong kind of thoughts. But I encourage you, why don't you start thinking thoughts like this? God, you are with me. God, you are for me. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. God, you are going before me. You will prepare a way. Your spirit gives me strength when I'm weak. Yes, do not gloat over me, my enemies, for though I fall, I will rise again. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. His word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When I cannot make it on my own, his power is going to sustain me. I may be in the valley, but God, my mind is set on you. I'm on a pilgrimage. This isn't my final destination. I'm on my way to a city of refuge. Feel how good that feels? And so how do we navigate the valley seasons? First, we lean on God's strength. Second, we set our mind on him. Going on in our passage, verse 6 says this, when they walk through the valley of weeping. How many of you would like to walk through that valley? Yeah, no one's going to raise their hand, right? The valley of weeping, watch this. It will become a place of refreshing springs. The autumn rains will clothe it with blessings. And some translations of this verse call it the valley of tears, the valley of loss. And we talked a little bit about this last week. Everybody wants Jerusalem. Everybody wants their goals. Everybody wants to achieve them. They want to achieve their dreams. But are you willing to walk through the valley of weeping? Are you willing to go through some difficult times in order to get there? And often, the valleys in the Bible were dangerous and treacherous places. There were places oftentimes without water. They were places with thorns and vicious animals. They were places where robbers would lay in wait to ambush unsuspecting people going through. In those days, it was very dangerous to travel. It was difficult to get through the valley without experiencing some type of hardship. And that's why it's so important that we have our mind set, because to get to the city of refuge, you have to travel through the valley of weeping. To get to where we really want to be in life, we've got to learn to be able to push through the pain. The valley is often the pathway to the place of peace that you and I so long for. So I want to encourage you this morning, if you find yourself in the valley, don't give up. We're on a pilgrimage. We're on a journey. The valley is not our destination. We're just passing through. This isn't my home. I'm on a journey to the place of peace and refuge. And this is what I want you to understand. When you walk through these seasons, you are not alone. Watch what David said in Psalms 23, verse 4. He said, "Even when I walk through the darkest valley." Anybody here ever walked through some dark valleys in life, right? "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me." And I get it, right? I'm not where I want to be, and it's difficult, and I'm hurting, but this isn't where I'm going to stay forever, because God is going to help get me through. I may be in a dark place right now, but don't mind me, because I'm just passing through the valley of weeping. Sometimes we get caught up in these seasons of our life, And we'll do anything we can in an attempt to extract ourselves. Anybody ever been in a valley before and cried out, God, just get me out of here. Make it go away. God, would you just please make it stop? I don't want this anymore. Just get me out, God. God sent me this morning to tell somebody here that the way to get out is to go through. Verse 6 says this, when they walk through the valley of weeping, it will become a place of refreshing springs. Even the valley can be a place of refreshing. The King James translation of this verse says this, they make it a well. In other words, when you find yourself in the valley, you need to dig a well. You need to get down on your hands and knees and clear a way. Here's the third way to navigate the valley season. Number 3 is prepare for the provision that God is going to send. Prepare for the provision that God is going to send. In other words, it may be dry right now. But when you're hurting and when things aren't going the way you want in life, right? You need to make room for the provision and for the presence of God. And even though it hasn't rained, you can rest assured that God will provide you everything that you need. And therefore, because I know he's going to provide and I know he's going to see me and I know he sees exactly where I'm at, I'm going to prepare and I'm going to make a way for the blessing that is to come. Our leadership team met here at the church, met this past Monday, and we had a long discussion about our facility and our needs and some of the challenges that we're currently facing. And we talked about the legacy offering, and we are believing God for $100,000 to help us begin the process of securing our future facility. Listen, even though we don't see the answer right now, we must prepare for it when it comes, because I believe that God is speaking to us as a church and to us as individuals. If you'll show me your faith, I'll show you my faithfulness. If you dig it, I will fill it up. If you prepare for me, I will show up. And we see Jesus do this over and over and over again in the New Testament. A man with a withered hand comes to Jesus. And instead of just healing him, Jesus says to the man, he says, stretch out your hand. In other words, you show me that you believe that I can do this, and then I'll do it. And so what happens? The man stretches forth his hand and Jesus heals him. Another man, scripture says, who couldn't walk for 38 years, he was brought to Jesus. And once again, Jesus didn't say, boom, you're healed. Jesus could have done that. But instead what he did is he said, he looks to the man who hasn't walked for 30 years and he says, pick up your bed and walk. In other words, you got to get up and show me that you believe that I can do the impossible. You show me your faith, and I will show you my faithfulness. I don't know who this is for this morning, but somebody needs to hear this. If you dig it, he will fill it. If you plant it, he will grow it. If you keep walking through the valley, there is blessing to be found in it, and there's blessing to be found on the other side of it. You have to plant your seed before you begin to see the harvest. If you prepare it for it, God is going to reveal himself to you. When you're in the dry place, come on, somebody, you need to make a well. You need to prepare for the provision of God in your life. I love the if promises of God that we read throughout this book. When he said things like, if you draw near to me, then what? Then I will draw near to you. If you seek me, you will find me. If you make room for me, I'll reveal myself to you. There's somebody here who hasn't sensed the presence of God in your life in a long time. Listen, if that's where you find yourself this morning, it's time to begin digging a well and say, you know what, God, I'm going to simply prepare for your provision and I'm going to prepare to receive your presence. Amen. I think it's interesting that God rarely reveals himself to people who are in a hurry. Imagine Moses in the Old Testament, the story of the burning bush. Imagine if he drives past at 70 miles per hour in his V8 camel and he grabs his rock phone IV and says, this will surely get some likes. Instagram story, boom, burning bush, right? And just flies right on by. No, but God says to Moses, hey, Moses, why don't you stop here? Why don't you be still? In fact, take your shoes off because you are standing on holy ground. For some of us in the room this morning, you're wondering why you're having to walk through the valley right now. It's because the valley is to get you to slow down, to prepare and learn and listen to God's voice. We've got to get to the place where no matter the season that we're at, where we say, God, I've got to have an encounter with you. I'm willing to wait. I'm willing to wait, and I believe that you are going to reveal yourself to me. Yes, I understand that the valley isn't as fun as the mountaintop, but it's in the seasons of the valley that we get to know him intimately. And here's what I hope you'll understand. God never, ever promised that you would live your life without valley seasons. But he did promise that you would never have to go through the valley alone. Are you thankful for a God who's with you? God with us. And the virgin will be with child, and his name will be Emmanuel, which means God with us. So how do we navigate the valley seasons? We lean on God's strength. We set our minds on him. We prepare for God's provisions. And I love how the psalmist builds these verses up. He says, what joy. How blessed are those whose strength comes from God. They're focused. Their mind is set on the final destination. And when they journey through the valley, they prepare for God's provision. But I want you to watch verse 7. This is what it says. Verse 7, they will continue to grow stronger. And each of them will appear before God in Jerusalem. They will continue to grow stronger. King James Version of this verse says they will go from strength to strength. And so you may be wondering, God, why do I have to walk through this? Why am I going through this mess? Why am I going through this valley? Listen, the purpose of the valley is to grow stronger. The valley is not a permanent place, but it does serve a purpose, and that is to stretch our faith and cause us to grow. Nobody's muscles, nobody's endurance has a chance to grow while we're standing at the peak of the mountain looking down at everything. We grow in the grind. We grow in the journey towards the destination that God has for us. And listen, this process will occur over and over and over again in our lives until one day we will appear before Jesus in the new Jerusalem. So when I lost my job that day, I was devastated. And there have been numerous valleys since that time, numerous difficulties that we've had to walk through. But in looking back, I can see that every single one of those valleys were necessary for me to walk into my destiny. I want to challenge you this morning, don't curse the valley. As I close, I want to encourage you. I get it. Nobody would choose the valley. Nobody would walk and say, God, I'm ready for the valley of weeping. Come on, yeah. This is what I've learned in my life, though. It's in the valleys that our true character. It's in the valley that our flaws are revealed. And God will use the valley to refine us. He'll use the valley to mold us and shape us more into his image. It's there we get to know him more intimately. We get to see his strength in ways that we could never see otherwise. Because if there was never a trial, if there was never a struggle, if there was never a difficulty, there would never be an opportunity to see the miraculous of God in our lives. And so if you find yourself in the valley this morning, don't give up. Because you're not always going to be in that place. We're just traveling. We're just passing through. And He's a good God. And we are headed to a place of peace and a place of refuge. And one day, if I'm faithful, I'm going to walk on streets of gold. And I'm going to see my Savior face to face. You might be here this morning and you're feeling a weak. You're feeling weak. You're feeling possibly ashamed because it's difficult. And how can I be going through all this? Listen, in the middle of your weaknesses, God will be your strength. If you're here this morning and you find yourself in darkness, God will be your light. If you're in a season of trouble, God can still be your joy. If you're in the middle of your pain, God will be your comforter. Even though we're in the valley, we do not fear because God is with us. Yes. You're just passing through. You're not going to be there forever. God is going to lead you out. He is with you and He is for you. Psalms 46:1 says, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. And if you'll let Him, if you won't curse the valley, what He's going to do is He's going to take you from strength to strength. And when you can't handle anymore, what you need to do is just lean into Him and let His strength carry you through. Even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil because God is with us. With every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around here this morning. There are some of you in this room that as I preach this message, you're like, well, that's a good message for some other people because honestly, in your life, everything's going pretty good. But even though it's good, if you were to be brutally honest this morning, you still feel an emptiness. And for some of us, God will allow you to get to a place in life where many of your dreams will come true. You've made the money you wanted to make. You live in the house you always wanted. You've got all the toys that money can buy. But you have all of the things that this world says you should have, but yet you're still empty. And I believe that happens because God allows us to get to that place to show us that we have a need inside of us for something so much bigger. And then there's others in this room. In fact, I've talked to some of you this week. You're in the complete opposite place. Your life is so low, you don't even know what a mountain is. You are so deep in the valley, even when you look up, you can't even see the mountain peak. And sometimes God allows us to get into those valley seasons because that's the only place, the only thing that we can do is look up and look towards Him. So whether you're on the mountain and empty, or you're in the valley and you're hurting, the good news is that God will meet you wherever you are at. God is the living Word. He is the one who came down and He took on the form of man. He came to earth. Jesus, the sinless Son of God who loved and He reached out to people who were hurting and broken and He loved them as they were, but He never left them in the same place. Jesus took on sin for you and for me on the cross. He died in our place. He paid the debt that you and I owed. And on the third day, when the stone was rolled away, He was risen. Because by the power of God, He defeated death, hell, and the grave. So that anyone, this includes you, it doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what you've done, anyone who calls on the name of Jesus Christ, your sins will be forgiven. You'll be made completely new. So this morning, if you're at the top and you're empty, He'll meet you there. And if you're at the bottom and hurting, He'll meet you there as well. Right now, the only thing separating you from Him is your sin. And when you confess your need for Him, He will forgive you and He will bring abundant life to you. And that's why some of you walked into this school auditorium this morning. You're here today because you need His grace and you need His mercy and you need His salvation. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. If you're ready to say yes to Jesus, if you're ready to give your life to Him, I want to pray for you. And so without looking around, without hesitation, right now, if you're ready to make that choice today, why don't you just lift your hand? Anybody here would say yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I see your hands. Thank you. This is the greatest decision that you could ever make. Thank you. Thank you there in the back. Amen. You can put your hands down. Let's all pray together. Lord Jesus, today, I come to give you my life. Lord, I'm sorry for the things that I've done, for the mistakes that I've made. Thank you for coming to pay the price for what I deserve. Lord Jesus, right now, God, I give you my life. In the valley, I give you my life. On the mountaintop, I give you my life. And Lord, from this moment forward, Jesus, I commit to follow you. Lord Jesus, I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice here this morning. For all of us, the valley season is going to come. And Lord God, I pray that you'd help us remember Psalms 84. Lord, that we'd lean on your strength. Lord, that we'd set our mind on you, Lord God, that we would prepare for the provision, Lord God, but most importantly, Lord, may we never curse the valley. Lord, because it's there you call us to grow. It's there you mold us into your image. It's there you take off the rough edges. And so, Lord Jesus, for those maybe that are in the middle of it right now that have been cursing you, Lord God, just, Lord, I pray that you would forgive us, Lord God, and that you would allow us to pause and stop, and that we would dig a well even right now in this very moment, and that we would prepare for what you're going to do and the provision that you're going to provide, Lord Jesus. Lord, in fact, your word tells us, Lord God, that your seed and your children are never left begging for bread. And so, Lord, even though we're in the midst of a difficult situation, Lord God, we trust you. And we know that you're going to provide. So we rejoice in all things. You are working for our good. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen.
Thank you for listening. We'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. You can email us at stories@thelifeway.org or connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. If you'd like to support this podcast, you can give today by visiting thelifeway.org/give. Thanks again for listening, and be sure to check in next week for a new message. Have a great week.